You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Chicago White Sox edition. I'm Anthony Kasprzak, joined by a sickly Scott Merkin. Merk, what do you got going on there? Sinuses?
I just want to thank Claritin for making this podcast possible, because I couldn't breathe last night. Just a little allergies and sinus. The pollen count was a little high last year. I can hear people actually turning this before it's even started as I discuss pollen count on our podcast, but no, I'm all right. I'll make it through on the way. I'm on the way to Milwaukee right now.
On your way to Milwaukee, and so are the White Sox, coming off of two straight series wins, so that's encouraging. Not so encouraging is their home road split. I don't know what point in the season it's fair to look at stuff like this, but they do have the worst record in baseball on the road for some reason. Anything to that, Merk?
Well, I think one of the things to it is they've had some just weird, there's some normalcy at home where they haven't had that in a lot of situations on the road. I mean, look at their road trip to, their worst road trip, their 0-5 in Baltimore and Minnesota, and that involved, you know, two games canceled because of the civil unrest in Baltimore, and then one game played with no fans. And the two games canceled, you know, they're at least the Orioles fans, and again, they were the Orioles players, they were the least, you know, there was something horrible going on in the city, obviously, but the Orioles players got to go to their house. The Sox were kind of, you know, in their hotel, not much to do for 2 days. So David Robertson kind of described the whole thing as kind of weird and awkward. I can see where that is. And they just played terribly in Minnesota. So I again, like you said, I don't know if it's early enough to look at splits, but I think you can look at it and say, well, you know, they do seem to have a pretty good grasp on winning at U.S. Cellular. Robin Ventura joked, maybe it's the new clubhouse they have that makes them feel at home. But they certainly have to, they don't have to be dominant on the road, but they certainly have to be much better on the road if they have any idea of contending this year.
Absolutely. And we're very curious to see how much Carlos Rodon plays a part, you know, going forward here. Now, a couple of developments over the weekend. Rodon gets the start. He was very, very encouraging start. And at the same day, Hector Nwesi gets struck in the hip. So I don't know if that's just the fates of baseball leading us to a Carlos Rodon rotation spot. The baseball gods want to see that as much as we do, or what? But what do you make of that situation, Mark?
Well, we didn't really see Nwesi the day after he got hit. But Robin did say that morning that if all things lined up, he would be, you know, available out of the bullpen, because that Sunday, that final game against the Reds, they were kind of shorthanded bullpen-wise. Right. So if Robin was thinking that he might be available out of the bullpen, you have to think that, you know, it wasn't – I know you said it was tightening up a little bit, it was a little bit sore, but, yeah, I think Rodon gets the next start. I really do, but I do think that it's not necessarily a full-time move in the rotation. They're very conscious of, you know, if you want to kind of call it the Strasburg theorem, you know, that they believe they're going to contend, and they know that Carlos Rodon makes them a better team as a starter. Carlos Rodon knows he's better as a starter. He basically said that. And that it's, you know, it's all part of the transition right now. But, you know, the kind of unofficial target is 160, I suppose, maybe 165, 170 innings-wise, but not much more than that. He already threw some for Charlotte. So, you know, it's going to be worked out that way, where I still think, you know, if they put him in there full-time, they don't really want to take him out. So it still could be juggled. But I really do believe he starts in Oakland.
So, Mark, would you say they're watching Rodon's pitch count as closely as you watch the pollen count?
Well, I didn't even really watch the pollen count. I was just coughing and sneezing, and someone said, do you have allergies? And I said, I do, and they said, the pollen count's up. So there you go. Maybe I should watch the pollen count more, so I know when to pop that clear and then kind of clear myself up a little bit.
Well, what's your takeaway from
We should get Claritin to sponsor the podcast from here on out, I think.
Absolutely. Hey, we're working on those. Hey, we got a Avis car rental sponsorship working on the Indians podcast.
There you go.
About his car rental of choice. But what was your takeaway, Merk, from Rodon's first start?
My takeaway was, you know, what everyone thought, that he was, you know, that I mean, it's hard to judge him in relief, because that's a role that he's really never done in his life. You know, if you look at even into his college days, there's only a handful of games that he's relieved. So he's better suited for that. You know, he got his fastball as high as 99. I think he averaged about 95. The slider was amazing. You know, he's got a couple different kinds of sliders, but the wipeout slider was there on Saturday. And he didn't even use the changeup all that much. But, I mean, he's an elite prospect who could turn into an elite starter. Yeah, he's going to have some rough patches to get over. He's got some things to work on, some development ahead of him. He's only 22, but this is a, you know, I was just talking about this, that this is a huge break for the White Sox that, you know, his junior year, I guess, put enough doubt in Houston and Florida to pass over him. I believe it was Houston and Florida who had the top two picks last year, and the Sox got him, and it was a perfect fit for Rodon. It's a perfect fit for the White Sox. So that's a guy who you compare with, Sale and Quintana, and who knows, maybe Samardzija, and, you know, you've won half the battle there when you have that kind of starting rotation. You don't have to go out and overpay for anyone else, really.
And Rodon got 8 swinging strikeouts in that game.
The stuff he has.
Yeah, very encouraging stuff. Not so encouraged by the last 2 starts for Mr. Chris Sale. Very un-Sale-like. You might even say it's been more like full-priced. Merck, what's going on with Chris Sale? Do you like that joke? Is that good?
Yeah, I don't know if it's not too bad, yeah. Yeah, I talked to Dr. Don Cooper, the pitching coach for the White Sox over the weekend, and he thinks it's as simple as he said, you know, there's some mechanics to fix a little bit, but he thinks it's as simple as Sale trying to do too much. And he did say that, you know, they've looked at some video and Chris was serving his suspension up until he starts on Tuesday. Still able to do work with the team and had to be gone, of course, before the game started. But he said when he shows him what he's seen on the video, it's going to be pretty obvious to Chris what's wrong. And, you know, Coop kind of thought the high velocity that Chris has been flashing, the 98, 97 on the speed gun, might be a sign of overthrowing a little bit. And he said because of that, that leads to some mechanics, you know, some flaws in mechanics. I asked him why that would be, and he said, well, maybe because the team's off to a bad start and he's trying to do too much, or just the bar is set, you know, very high for him after being the, you know, number 3 Cy Young guy last year and really one of the best starters in the last 3 years. I mean, this, you know, he had these last 2 starts are his first back-to-back non-quality starts since 2012, and I think a couple of those were brought on by injury shortened, or, you know, just, you know, coming back from injury shortened games type of thing. So that's pretty amazing when you can go 2 full seasons as a starter and not have back-to-back non-quality starts. That's a pretty effort. I still think he'll be fine. There's if Chris Sale is your biggest worry, then you're pretty much ahead of the curve on that one. He'll get things straightened out and get things straightened out pretty quickly.
So, Mark, as you're on your way to Milwaukee, are we going to see Jose Abreu at third, or did the foul ball off the foot kill that dream?
Yeah, I think, I you know, Robin, as was mentioned to me by another reporter, Robin mentioned at the beginning of spring training that first week that they could break camp with 8 relievers, and we all wrote that, you know, at that point, and none of us really thought they were going to break camp with 8 relievers, and they didn't break camp with 8 relievers. And, you know, the Abreu story was a nice story. I still think it could happen at some point, maybe for a game, maybe for a couple innings. He did take ground balls at third during his open workout, you know, for all the teams. I remember Kenny Williams was there, and he said he thought he handled himself well at third base. You know, I don't think it's a full-time thing, but I think he could do it. I just don't think it'll be happening in Milwaukee. I think if I had to guess, I would guess he plays first base Monday and Tuesday against the Brewers, and then LaRoche plays first base Wednesday, and then Abreu gets that nice little Wednesday-Thursday break before the West Coast, before going to Oakland. But it'll be interesting to see. You know, he seems up for it. He seemed a little surprised by it when we talked to him the other day about it, but he certainly seems up for the challenge if you know, there's a game or two. One thing about Abreu is this is legitimately a guy who is not there studying his stats and not saying, well, if I play third, that may screw up my defensive stats or it may mess with my mind when I'm hitting. This is a guy who is willing to do really anything to help the team. You know, he had fun last year. He enjoyed winning Rookie of the Year. I think he'd trade in a lot of those numbers if it meant the White Sox going to the playoffs. He really is genuine team-first type of guy, and if that helps the team, he'll play third base.
While we're on the subject of the offense, real quick, Melky Cabrera, you feel like he's starting to play like Melky Cabrera, basically starting to be the guy they signed?
Yeah, as I said before on the podcast, you know, I think that the fact that the bullpen is so good really is encouraging for the Sox to turn around, because that offense is going to, you know, there's a lot of guys whose career numbers are well above what they're hitting right now, and they're going to get closer to that. Even if it's a down year, they're still going to get closer to those numbers. And the same with the starting pitchers. So I think it's the offense is starting to come around a little bit and kind of, you know, fits and starts. And Melky Cabrera is one example. He had a big home run the other day off Jabba Chamberlain. I think they're going to be okay. I think there's a lot of guys there who are still below level. Adam Eaton is another example that eventually will, you know, kind of get to where they need to be. So there's still some hope, even if it hasn't been a good 6 weeks for the White Sox overall.
Well, I'm less worried about the White Sox offense. I'm more worried about getting Scott Merkin back to 100%. So keep the Claritin coming. Thank you, Claritin, for sponsoring this podcast with no money, I might add.
We might get some free samples if nothing else.
Yeah, at least. That's the least you could do for us, Claritin. Thank you, Scott Merkin, for joining us under adverse conditions. And thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extra, Chicago White Sox edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.